There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 952, August 15th. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say lawyers are busy on both sides of the pond. It's sink or swim for the honey badger. And the king of chaos is smiling and ready to be the new Bond, Jose Bond. Back to the host, Mr. Fleming of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Toto, thinking about Abu Dhabi every day. Raikkonen, not thinking of the past, testing new gen NASCAR at Virginia International. Laguna Seca this weekend, folks. It's Monterey Car Week. We're celebrating 100 years of Le Mans, and they're going to have something new, folks. Something special. It's going to happen at Laguna Seca at the end of all the Scooby-Doo stuff, and it's going to be the first ever corkscrew hill climb going in the opposite direction. It's going to be exciting. A list of entries for the hill climb will be published on the front page of F1Weekly.com. It's going to be awesome. If any F1 Weekly people are going to the wonderful, wonderful world of Laguna Seca this weekend, you want to meet up, just email me, Clark at F1Weekly.com. And of course, the official F1 Weekly eatery during Monterey Car Week is Cafe Luna in beautiful Carmel Plaza. And just a reminder, we need your contributions. Keep this program up on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am very good, sir. Thank you. Very interesting things you say about Laguna Seca. I miss that place very much, and all of California, that's for sure. Man, I'll tell you this, Monterey Historic, that used to be, back in the day, what Goodwood Festival has become today. And it's still a great event, and I've been there many times, and the greatest moments of my humble life was when I went there, I think it was 1986, and a Mercedes was the featured mark, and a gentleman by the name of Herman Long, who used to drive for Mercedes when it was basically Scuderia Adolf. He was there, and I walked up to him, shook his hands, and got his autograph. Man, best moment of my life. I could never, ever dream of touching history of motor racing like that day. And then I saw Fangio drive a Mercedes there. And of course, we had a long chat with Arnage. And it's been a wonderful place. So I hope you have a great time. Yeah, Le Mans special. I'm sure they will have some Matra. And if there is a Gulf color Porsche or a Ford GT40, please take a picture for me, because that is the best color racing scheme of all time. Do you know who the drivers will be there, if there is a list that's available?
There will be a list. I don't have that list with me, but of course, everybody who's anybody is going to be there, Nasser.
But for F1 Weekly Familia, anybody in who is everybody is Mr. Rogers.
Exactly. So there you have it. That's enough right there.
Yes, sir. And well, let's move on to Formula One Action. Now there is, it's amazing how this thing is turning. Now there is talk on the street that the king of controversy, from traction control at Benetton to loss of control in Singapore, the one and only Flavio Briatore, is being dragged into the, what I would call, Alpine Everglades. There's a kind of hush all over the McLaren camp, but lawyers from both sides are working in overdrive to get their cases ready. Zak Brown must be a busy bee in the off-season. He is fighting the sting of lawsuits on both sides of the pond. Gracias to Senor Alex Palou. Who knows what the truth is? Sooner or later, cooler and more importantly, financially savvy heads will prevail and we will have peace in our F1 lifetime. What say you, Mr. F. Lee Bailey of F1?
Well, I'm telling you, Piastri, they're taking him to civil court. It's gotten really bitter, and I think they're really disappointed over at Renault about his lack of loyalty. They spent millions on this young man. You know, I can see everybody's bitter and cynical about everything these days. You can't blame them. But it's going to get ugly. This Palou thing, it's Chip Ganassi. He's going to fight Zak all the way to the top. He doesn't care. That's showbiz, Nasser.
Yeah, but you know, as any good divorce lawyer will tell you, that feelings and emotions don't count much when it's time for a bitter split. What counts is what's in black and white, in writing, and show me the money. And you know, let's address briefly on both sides. On the American side, Alex Palou, I wish him well. He's done very well here in the United States, and obviously he could not make it to Formula One based on his performance in the European theater. That's why he went to Japan and did very well and then came here. But I think that if his people think that based on his fantastic performance in American racing, that he can get a seat at McLaren and become a bona fide Formula One driver, I have noticiero for his people who are handling his affair. Just two words. Daniel Ricciardo. If that guy is struggling for whatever reason, who I think is one of the best talents we have seen in the last 20 years, and there's no question about his racing talent. If he's struggling, I just cannot see somebody who has done well pretty much in a spec series, and doesn't mean he's a bad driver, but I just do not see that it's going to work out for him at McLaren in Formula One. Now, if he was going to a Ferrari or a Red Bull, but they have a winning car, that's another story. So that's my take on the, and leaving one of the top teams in American racing, Chip Ganassi, that can never be a good idea. I mean, if you're with Penske or Ganassi, you only leave if you have Scuderia Ferrari flying here, people to meet you and talk to you, as Frank Williams did when Monty was in IndyCar racing, because that was such a prize catch. And as far as Oscar Piastri is concerned, tremendous talent. Anybody who wins Formula 2 in his first attempt, that he has my utmost attention and respect. Anybody who has done that has done very well in Formula 1. We're talking names like Rosberg, Hamilton, Leclerc, Russell. So there you have it with his talent. But I really don't think, without knowing all what happened in the background, this is really not the way to arrive in Formula 1 to make your debut. But who knows what's going on. But as far as, you know, Alpine and Renault are concerned, I would place the blame more on him, on them. And I'm going to tell you why. If you have two drivers, one who is definitely a heavyweight of the past and will be heavyweight if you give him the right car, which they don't have, and at the same time, you have hopefully a serious heavyweight for the future, you have to sign one of them before the, you know, deadline, which was, I understand, was July 31st, expires. And I have to say this, whether it was Laurent Rossi, who did not get along with Prost, so Prost is no longer there. Now I'm hearing he was having issues with Alonso. Whoever is responsible, these people should have known that Fernando, with all due respect to his machismo-ness and his achievements and this and that, he has a history where top teams are not taking him, and there must be a reason. So for Schaffner to say, well, on Sunday, Hungarian Grand Prix, he said everything is fine. Well, everything was fine. It was more than fine. He went and found a better deal, at least financially. So it has become a real muddy waters, and this is not a tune that everybody's going to like, but that's how I look at it. But we don't want this mudslinging. You know, we want peace, we want settlement, move on with motor racing, which is what we enjoy. What say you, sir?
Well, I agree. I mean, let's move along. Fernando is el machismo. Too bad for Alpine. I mean, listen, they still got to finish the 2022 season. We all have to get along. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, don't take it personally, please. I mean, machismo is some guy who has burned bridges on River Kwai and on River Danube, and now he's doing the same on River Thames. So Otmar Szafnauer and people at Renault Alpine, they must have gotten this memo a few years ago. And why it has dragged on like this, maybe someday it will come out. But what do you think about some people claiming that it was Briatore, Weber? Remember, Weber used to be managed by Briatore, and that Alonso all colluded for the timing of this to be such a thing, where summer break comes, he's not available, Otmar is saying he's on a Greek island, Nando puts out a picture of smiling in Oviedo, they're saying they can't get in touch with Mark Webber because he's in Australia. Well, he's in England at the Formula E race in London town. So this was either very well orchestrated or just, you know, a series of incredible coincidences, which I have my doubts, but obviously I have no proof to state anyway. But it's very, very interesting. We've never had such a busy off-season. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that.
Yeah, as Robin Miller, the late Robin Miller, used to say, hate is good. So I guess maybe it's working out very well for the Formula One off-season media circus. Anything else you want to say on this issue, Senor?
No, I just find it interesting, but I figured Flavio would come up in the conversation. Mark Webber and Fernando were very good friends, used to fly together from Grand Prix. It's very interesting, and maybe Webber wanted to impress Flavio with a coup of some kind, and Flavio knows Fernando and probably said, go ahead, take the billions. It's all one big movie that's going to come up on Netflix pretty soon.
Well, you know, Flavio was best buddies with Bernie Ecclestone, and he was heavily involved in getting the Grand Prix to Azerbaijan. And he's a sharp barracuda. He's a barracuda who's a billionaire. So he may have pulled some strings or said something. Keep in mind, man, this is the guy who took Michael Schumacher from the Fox of Foxes, Eddie Jordan. So what is Laurent Rossi? For he's just a little shrimp for Briatore.
Very true.
Okay, sir, and since we are talking about off-season so much, we are in summer break, so let's take a look how we got here and the season so far. May I proceed with your express written consent, please?
Yes, Pedro.
Thank you, Jose. What started out as a Ferrari fanfare has turned into a Leclerc nightmare. With new rules coming in 2022, some surprises were expected, but nobody saw or thought House of Hamilton will suffer a bigger shock than the season finale in 2021. And as you said, Toto thinks about it every day, and who can blame him? The best-looking car was red hot and won two of the first three races in the hands of Charles Leclerc. The new world champion season was going the other way. Two DNFs from the first three races. A rapid change of the newly installed regime was predicted and hopes were high. Ferrari will have their first world champion driver since the epic 2007 season. But then the Cucina went cold and Red Bull steamed ahead, with Max showing everyone where's the beef. And here we are in the Oscar-winning off-season. Max 80 points ahead of Leclerc. Still a lot of races and points to fight for, but looks like dishes are done for Scuderia Ferrari and their two drivers. Max is leading with 258 points, and this is where it gets very interesting. In 13 races, he has 8 wins. Apart from the two DNFs and 7th place at Silverstone, Max has been on the podium in all other races. He has put Charles Leclerc in dire straits. That's the way you do it. Money for winning and Kelly Piquet for free. Thank you, Kvyat. Moving on to the driver in second place, Charles Leclerc, 178 points. Apart from his three race wins, Ferrari's numero uno has been on the podium in only two other races, in the streets of Saudi Arabia and Miami FLA. Shockingly, he has less podium finishes in 2022 so far than the Prince of Porpoising, also known as Lewis Hamilton. Three wins compared to eight for Max at this stage of season is definitely no way to win the championship, especially against a ferocious, formidable competitor as Max Verstappen. Checo is next. Sergio Perez, 173 points, third in the championship. His only win came in Monte Carlo, the best place to get your only win. In addition, he has five other podium finishes. He has been competitive and his efforts have been rewarded by contract extension by Red Bull. Max may not feel threatened by the Mexican driver, but he certainly has not made him look like driving a Tijuana taxi as he did with Gasly and Albon. Next in the championship, senor, is Russell, George Russell, 158 points. Toto's young Turk is man of the moment and the future. Highlight of the season so far has been his maiden pole in Hungarian Grand Prix. He has five podium finishes, and apart from his only DNF in the home Grand Prix at Silverstone, he has finished every race in top five, which is very, very impressive. Next in the standing is Sainz, Carlito, with 156 points. His claim to fame has made him as the only other Spanish driver, apart from El Machismo, to win in Formula One. Taking that first victory at Silverstone for Ferrari, it was very good. I think his first win was as welcome as, I don't know if as much as Nigel Mansell's first win, but maybe as Gerhard Berger, everybody was happy for him. Sir, before we talk about dud and skirt of the season, in terms of guys who are doing a good job, who has impressed you most?
Well, I guess Russell is very impressive. I mean, he's very together on the podium, finishing fifth almost in every Grand Prix. It's very impressive. On the other hand, Machismo on the front row continues to impress.
Well, sir, on the first part, I totally agree with you. For me, the most impressive driver so far has been George Russell, especially given with what he has to work with, and he was doing much better and has been doing much better, but his teammate is now catching up. And I will not be surprised if teammate or Russell get a win this season. And what Max is doing, yeah, he's dominating, but the package he has and the talent he is, that is expected. Charles Leclerc has done a good job, but too many mistakes, both by him and the team. So my vote for the best, most impressive driver so far, same as yours, George Russell. Sir, dud and skirt of the season. Obviously, nobody is dominating this field as much as Daniel Ricciardo. Do you see a future for him in Formula One next season?
Nope, but I'm sure he'll get a text from Raikkonen, and Raikkonen will tell him these new Gen NASCARs are awesome, awesome, awesome. And we know Ricciardo likes Texas and the hot dog. So we'll find a truck series for him.
I will not be surprised if Ricciardo lands back at Enstone, meaning Alpine. He's been there, and if they end up losing Piastri, who has already said he will not drive for them, then I cannot think of a better choice for them. Unless Ricciardo has really given up on Formula One, which I seriously doubt. Maybe there is some. Do you remember when Mark Webber almost won the championship at Red Bull? And had he not crashed in the rain in Korea, he would be world champion. And then a year or two later, Sebastian won all the races he could and Mark went winless. So there could be some characteristics of the car that is just not working for him. But even then, to be outclassed as badly as he has been by Lando Norris, that is still a surprise. But I'm a firm believer racing drivers do not just hit a delete button in their mind and the talent just disappears. So I still have hope for him, and I would like to see him get a... I don't want to see him go to Alfa Romeo or Alfa Tauri or Haas. If he's going to go someplace where he can at least... the guy took that yellow Renault on the podium, so I think he's still got some beef in him. Aussie meat. And the other, I don't know if he's dud and scarred, but not been very impressive. I would say more like expose against a good talent is Mick Schumacher, and there's a lot of chatter about him that not only Haas but even Ferrari Driver Academy is going cold on him. But he must have a lot of money behind him just from family account. So I think his people will find him a seat. It is such a huge name in the world of motor racing. I don't see him becoming the next Charles Leclerc or George Russell. Will we see Mick in F1 next season, Senor?
No, we will not. Mick will go on to teach at an academy somewhere.
A racing academy or equestrian academy?
No comment.
Well, you know what? I don't know if Ferrari has a real stable, a real scuderia where they have horses. Maybe they can put him in charge of that operation.
Wilbur!
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
Exactly. So, sir, we were recently lucky enough to get a musical piece from one of our listeners, one of our original, regular, frequent contributor, Loosh on the Loose, Mr. Lucien Byfield. Shall we listen to his work before we go into Motorsports Mondial?
That's a grand idea. So here we go. It's Lucien Byfield and his Rock and Roll 88s. After this brief message.
I am René Anou, and you must listen like me, F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir, and Mr. Rogers, or maybe I should call you Father Rogers. I have sinned, and I seek your forgiveness. If there is no Formula One, I have to do something. So on Sunday, I watch the closing stages of Le NASCAR. Did you watch any of the action?
Are we talking about Richmond?
Yes, sir. VA.
Yeah, I watched some of it, but as usual, it's so boring that I moved on to the the dog and pony show in Westminster.
I thought that was the dog and pony show in Virginia.
Well, you know, I go for the smelly, stinky one.
Oh, stinko. Yeah, you know, the Kimi Raikkonen thing that you talked about, next-gen car, he was actually, he was testing the car in Virginia. And he will be at the Watkins Glen race, which is a fantastic racetrack, beautiful location, upstate New York. How do you think he will do?
He will do very, very well. He's a rally, former rally driver, former camper truck series driver. This man can do it all. He's the Mario Andretti of racing today. So, yeah, he's going to be awesome. He's probably going to be top 10.
If he gets a decent competitive car, then this guy will do very well. I mean, this guy is a pure natural talent, And if the car is competitive, he will do very well. And, you know, I was laughing at one of the drivers made a comment that Kimi Raikkonen doesn't know how aggressive NASCAR drivers can be. Well, how aggressive can they be on a road course? We've seen that. And speaking of which, NASCAR road course, I was watching the other day some racing highlights, and one of the things that commentator mentioned, and there was a shoe on the track, and there was Danica Patrick going over that shoe. But I will definitely watch this race. I normally watch most of the NASCAR road races anyway, and I'm very, very interested in. This is very good for NASCAR. This is very good for global appeal of NASCAR. And, you know, big names bring in crowd. I hope it works out all for all parties. And Daniel Kvyat is also doing some NASCAR-related series. I don't know if he will be at Watkins Glen. But I'm going to tell you, man, I will not be surprised if Kimi Raikkonen wins this race. Because the reason I say this, I remember a guy named Tommy Kendall who used to race Trans Am?
One of my favorites.
Real tall guy from Southern California. He once took part in the NASCAR race at Sears Point. I could not believe how easily he would lead the race. He did not win for what, you know, all these cautions or whatever. Robbie Gordon was always very good. So I'm really looking forward to it. So it'll be very, very interesting. Anything else, sir, you would want to talk about? There is an IndyCar race coming up this weekend in Gateway, which is near St. Louis, Missouri. So it's like a 1 mile or 1.5 mile oval. So I will be watching that, enjoying that. And then I'm not sure what else is coming up. But pretty soon we will have the Belgian Grand Prix. And Mr. Rogers, I'll be very, very disappointed if this turns out to be the final Formula One race at Spa. What's your take on that situation, sir?
Well, once again, it would be like taking the cathedral away from the church. I don't understand this kind of thinking. For me, my brain can't even reach those kinds of tragedies that are completely unnecessary. Why would you make a tragedy? It makes no sense to me, but I'm sure that the race in Kenya will be coming upon us very soon.
Well, with all the money in Angola and Kazakhstan, I'm surprised Bernie did not land a deal there. They had no problem getting a race in Malaysia, which was a beautiful, beautiful track. But the new trend is not very encouraging. And so there you have it, sir. Anything else you want to talk about, sir, before we go to Musical Mondial?
We do have Las Vegas coming up. That's going to be exciting.
Well, that's next year.
I know, but that's still coming up. You know what they say.
Yes, it will be here tomorrow.
It will be here tomorrow. So don't forget Laguna Seca this weekend, Nasser. You know how wonderful this opportunity is. And of course, there's Pebble Beach, all the auction houses from Russo Steel to Bonhams to Goody & Company on the hill at Pebble Beach. We're going to have Mecum Auctions, which is a huge production. Ferraris galore everywhere. It's going to be awesome. And I'll be driving my Citroën Traction Avant. That's it. Unfortunately, Alan Decadney has passed. He will not be joining us. And I will miss him dearly.
Yeah, I met him a few years ago at Laguna Seca. And sir, at this point, I would like to give a shout out to our friend in Cali, not too far from you, Mr. Philip Pegler. He was kind enough to put me in touch with Mr. Tom Gaymore. Tom Gaymore is a Formula One commentator. He also commentates on other racing series. So we exchange email, courtesy of Mr. Pegler. We will do a sort of a season review and other motorsports chit-chat with him on Skype sometime next month. So I'm really looking forward to it, and hopefully we will have a nice interview to post on F1 Weekly, everybody's favorite podcast.
That's fantastic, Nas, and I will take a lot of pictures and report on Laguna Seca next week. That will be a lot of fun because Le Mans has never been featured at Laguna Seca, so it's going to be great. And that's my tip of the week. Everybody, meet me at Laguna Seca, and don't forget to have lunch over at Cafe Luna in Carmel Plaza. Nas, keep up the good work. The check's in the mail. I'll see you next week. Good night.
Hold on, Boudreaux. You know, speaking of Le Mans, if I recall correctly, the first Le Mans was 1923, I believe, or was it 20? Yeah, I believe it was 1923. So my friend, Mr. Olivier Menu, said to me that I must come to Le Mans next year. So I'm really, really interested in doing this. So let's see what happens. And it's a great place to go. Lots of cars, lots of interview opportunities. And I've been there a few times and I really, really enjoyed the trip there. Okay, sir. Now we come to Musical Mondial. As you know, we have a lot of games going on in the off season. So we're going to invite Mr. Henry Mancini to the Palatial Studios and for some charade. Thank you for listening. Please enjoy.